Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get Simmons.
Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Leonis Martin with a walk-off. Two-run home run.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for being here. Mariners win opening day at Safeco Field yesterday afternoon over the Houston Astros. We'll have the breakdown, plenty of reaction as well as the Mariners get the victory. Also, a great conversation. Aaron Goldsmith, a chance to sit down with Harold Reynolds, Willie Bloomquist, and Jamie Moyer. And that's going to happen in a few minutes as well. That was a fun conversation that you'll get to hear in just a couple of moments. But let's get to the ball game yesterday. The M's coming home, a quick turnaround after the how do you describe that loss? Seven runs in the ninth inning against the Angels. Angels sweep aside the Mariners. M's fly home. They get back late. They have a quick turnaround with a 2 o'clock game, and they're facing the Houston Astros, the team that took 3 of 4 in the first series of the season. But this one was all about James Paxton, who was just sensational.
Paxton looking for his fifth strikeout. Here is the stretch. Runners go, 3-2 pitch, and a swing and a miss and a cutter in the dirt for strike three. And there it is, strikeout number 5 for the lefty from Ladner, James Paxton. And Paxton gets himself out of trouble here in the top of the fourth inning. The pitch, swing and a miss and a breaking ball in the dirt, knocking it down Zunino, and a throw to second. And now they have Beltran in the rundown, a throw to Valencia, and they get the tag on Beltran. It's a double play, a swing and a miss, strike three. And Beltran took off for second. Zunino, what a throw down to Cano, over to Valencia, and that's it for the Astros. Pitch to Reddick. He swings and flicks it towards left center field. Martin on his horse, racing back in front of the warning track, coasting over, and he makes the catch. Martin galloping towards left center, hauls it in, and Paxton strands two. James Paxton on opening day from Safeco Field 2017 exits to a standing ovation, 7 scoreless against the Astros.
A well-deserved standing O, 7 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts, and did it on 108 pitches. Can't ask for anything more to start this season out of Paxton. He has been nothing short of sensational. How about 13 innings pitched without a run, just 6 hits along the way. He has fanned 13, and he's only walked 3. Just an incredible start for James Paxton. Here's what he said after the ball game.
I mean, yeah, I felt really good today. But the crowd was great. You know, once we started scoring some runs especially, they got really excited, and I fed on that also.
James, can you walk us through the seventh there when you gave up a couple hits and had some traffic? What were you trying to do?
Yeah, you know, threw some good pitches. They hit some good pitches. They didn't really crush the ball or anything, just got some guys on base and had to bear down and make pitches. And Zunino did a great job of calling the game back there and kept me calm and everything and just executed.
Considering the way the season had started, did you kind of feel you needed to have a good game today and set things right?
Yeah, you know, it was a tough road trip. We didn't play very well, and especially coming off of yesterday, that was tough. So coming in today, I knew it was big to get us back on the right foot, and we did what we needed to do. We won the ball game, and hopefully that can kind of turn things around for us here.
I kind of mentioned that they were approaching you a little differently. Could you notice that right away in that first couple of innings?
Yeah, you know, I threw some good curveballs over the plate. They were down for balls, but they were over the plate, good curveballs, and they were taking them. And Stott came up to me and talked to me, and he was like, "Do you realize what these guys are doing to you?" And he said that they're taking the curveball because they were swinging at the curveball last game, and they were going to force me to throw it for strikes. So he told me just to bring it into the strike zone, use it as a get-ahead pitch. And once I got to 2 strikes, they had to swing at it. So that was helpful also.
If you said after the last start that you knew the offense would come around, but how much did it mean when Cruz kind of came through that two-run hit and kind of things started going?
It was big. You know, you could feel the difference in our dugout. The guys, just the confidence level went through the roof. Once we started getting some hits and some runs, you know, this offense is just going to take off. And I'm confident that we're going to be scoring runs on a regular basis. And it just kind of took – yesterday we scored runs. We did a great job. And I think that was kind of the start of this offense starting to get hot. And we're going to be just fine.
How different does your pitch mix have to be when you face a team back-to-back like this?
My plan going in was pretty much the exact same. I was going to make them prove that they could hit me before. I was going to change my approach to them. And, you know, we did things a little bit differently today. Used the cutter a bit more. It was better today than it was the first time out. And I was getting some swings on that because when it came in, they saw a fastball. Unlike the curveball, they could kind of tell that that was the curveball, so they're taking that one, but swinging at the cutter.
James, how different?
Well, yeah, it's different. I'm not in Tacoma, which is great. Enjoying that part of it. But I feel comfortable. I feel really confident in what I'm doing and focusing on the process of what I need to do out there, just one pitch at a time. And so far, getting the good results that we need.
How important was it to finish that inning in the seventh? I mean, yeah, there were guys up in the bullpen. Did you go out and finish it on your own?
Yeah, you know, I wanted that inning. I felt strong still. I was making good pitches. They just made some contact, and I knew that I could, you know, still bring it.
And it was a close ball game. It was scoreless into the fifth inning, and then bottom of the fifth inning, that's when the Mariners' offense went to work. It started with a Dyson double to right field, fielder's choice, and then Haniger would double. So Mata went to third. And then the Astros decided to intentionally walk Robinson Cano to load the bases for Nelson Cruz, and Cruz came through.
The 2-0 toss on the way. Swing and a line drive. Base hit center field. Mata scores from third. Ronnie third, heading home is Haniger. He'll score. Cano around to third. The throw to third, not in time. Robbie safe at third. Nelson Cruz with a two-run single to center field. And the Mariners have the lead 2-0.
Yeah, Cruz came through in a big way. The two-run single there. And then it was Haniger in the sixth inning that had the big hit.
The pitch. Swing and a soft slice into right field. Base hit. Zunino pounds the bag at third. Coming home. The throw goes into third base. Well over the glove of Bregman. Dyson coming down the line. He scores two runs in on a wild throw from Reddick in right field. You don't see that very often. And it's 5-0 Mariners, two outs, bottom of the sixth.
So Seager had a couple hits and an RBI. Haniger had a couple hits and a ribby. Nelson Cruz, a bust-out game, three hits, including two ribbies, and scored a run. Here's what Cruz said after the game.
You got to the 2-0 count. You've been in 2-0 counts before and just kind of missed them. What were you thinking? Would you stay up the middle? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you stay with the approach and get something that you can like mention here at the middle.
How good did that feel? I mean, just to get that big hit.
No doubt, good. I mean, especially in front of the fans, you know, it's nice to get that W, especially what happened yesterday. And to do it in front of the fans, definitely more special.
So did you hear the boos after the fourth inning when you guys did?
Not really.
You don't hear that?
No, I had twice asked me. Reporters asked me, early asked me about it. No.
So it's just a matter of getting your timing down coming that first week.
Yeah, it's just one pitch, you know, that one pitch is what it takes to click, and I feel like the fly that I hit against the Angels, it was, I don't know, some third. I find something in that at bat.
It fouled off. That was the one you fouled off a bunch of pitches.
Yes, yes.
What did you think you felt when you did that?
Just something. I mean, you can explain what it is. It's something that you as a hitter just find when you swing and the timing.
Yes, yes. What do you think about what Haniger is doing as a rookie so far this year?
It's pretty amazing. I mean, he's getting some top bats and find a way to get through. Big homers. And he's playing pretty good defense also. So.
Yeah, it's two games. You guys got some things going yesterday. Just feel like things are going the right way now.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching is doing a really good job into yesterday. As an offense, we do a good job yesterday. We scored a lot of runs in today again, so that's look like all the bats are alive, especially today. We got a lot of hits, big hits. and the way passing through, it was pretty nice, you know.
How long did you think about 1-6?
What?
How long did you think about being 1-6?
I don't try to think about much negativity, you know. I just focus on a daily basis. And like today we win, so we try to focus on what we do positive the day yesterday too, what we did positive yesterday, and go from there. It's a long season, so you cannot cut up in the negativities.
A tough flight home, though. I mean, the clubhouse yesterday was as tough as I've seen. And
yeah, it was tough. It was tough, yeah. It was a rough feeling, you know. I mean, winning by that many runs and lost the game.
So there was Nelson Cruz talking about the bounce back the Mariners had and bouncing back in a big way, getting the win. And this is how it sounded as the M's sealed the victory.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, line drive to Cano in right field. He's there, makes the catch, and the ball game is over. The Mariners shut out the Houston Astros 6-0 this afternoon here in the 2017 home opener before a great crowd.
6-0 the final. 6 runs, 11 hits Mariners, no runs, 6 hits Astros. Astros fall to 4-4. Mariners now 2-6. Game 2 of the series tonight. We'll talk about that in a second. First, let's hear from the skipper after the ball game.
Yeah, it's opening day, you know. It's the first day of the season. So I think that's with what happened this last week, and especially yesterday. We needed to bounce back. I felt very strongly we would. And really started with Paxton, obviously. Awesome job today, keeping a very good hitting team down. And good stuff, mixed in all his pitches, and it's tough when you face teams back-to-back like that because they just saw him, you know, 5 days ago. So really, tip my hat to Pax. He was the story of the day for our club.
Hey, offensively, you boxed you up the chance there in the fourth inning, but came right back after. I mean, given what that first week was like, that could have been a time that was a pivotal point.
Very much so. You know, we had created opportunity. We had middle lineup guys got on. Behind it, you know, the strikeouts got us there in the fourth, but responded. You know, we have a lot of fight in us. We got some grind in our team, and it was a rough week. There's no doubt, and everybody felt it. But from the minute I walked in this morning, I just wanted to treat it like opening day. Let's just start over. And our guys really did take a new approach, you know, going about it. And it was opening day for Nelson Cruz too. So it's good that he found his stroke today.
You knew Cruz would bounce out of it, but was it nice to see that?
Very much so. Yeah, you know, the veteran guys, and when they're struggling, you know, you say, it should never happen. It happens. It's a hard game, and, you know, they put a little pressure on themselves early, and then when you don't have your rhythm or your timing, you know, it can get a little challenging. But great job by him. Obviously, a little banged up. Robbie took one off the foot, and Segura hobbling a little bit right now, but, you know, it'll be okay.
What's the status of Gene in terms of, is it going to be a DL stint?
No, it's day-to-day right now. We don't know yet. You know, I tweaked his hammy a little bit. We'll have a better idea tomorrow when he comes in, but it's very mild. Fingers crossed that he's going to be okay tomorrow or the next day.
Just diving back?
It actually happened earlier in the game. He was trying to get it stretched out, and he went up and had the at-bat. And he got on base, and he got doubled up on the line drive, and he just didn't feel right, and, you know, it's early in the season. Let's do the smart thing.
You're playing shorthanded already, though. Do you have to make a move to get another guy up here?
We'll talk about it. You know, I'll get with Jerry here after you know, we get together in my office and kind of go through what the options are and seeing how bad. We got to get a report exactly where we think Segura is going to be. But, yeah, we are short. You know, we're going with that extra pitcher right now, and something we're going to have to look at.
Scott, what was the dialogue with Ronnie after he fouled off the ball off the foot?
Really hurt. It's what happens. I mean, there's nothing you can do. He actually has the leg guard on. He fouled, I think, the ball off right in between, you know, the toe part of it and the leg part of it. So there's a little gap in there. And, you know, it happens. It's part of the game. There's not a whole lot you can do. It's going to be sore. Yeah, see how it is. Get some ice on it. Come back tomorrow.
Imagine if you'd lost your starting midfield or starting middle infield in a matter of 2 innings.
That would have been tough. Yeah, and actually my mind was racing on who we were going to put out there. All kinds of different variations of what we had left on our bench, and one probably included Chooch showing up somewhere in the infield. So I'm glad we didn't have to go there. Robbie should be okay.
I see you guys responded right after, but did the booze bother you at all after the fourth inning?
No. I think our players know. You know, it's been a rough week, and Obviously, our fan base is on it. They're watching everything we do, and they're fired up about the prospects of our team and coming out the way we did. It's disappointing to everybody. So, it's baseball. It's part of it. I do think our players fed off the energy of our fans when Cruz is up there and all of a sudden they're on their feet and here's our guy and he comes through. Those are the things that we have to keep in mind. It is a long season and, our fans certainly will. It's great to see the turnout today.
There are no must-wins in April ever, I don't think, but psychologically, was this as close as it gets how the season started?
Yeah, when it was 6-0, the bases are loaded. There's a few things going through my mind and everybody's mind, but you got to keep grinding. It's baseball. What happened yesterday, we can't fix that. It can't change it. Just got to look forward. Like I said, today when we came in, we're going to try to win the series. We're off to a good start.
13 scoreless innings to start the season for James. Just how impressed are you with his first two starts of the year and what he's giving you?
Well, it's been very impressive. I think his ability, how he's attacking and using the secondary pitch, and I thought the Astros were trying to be very patient with him today, trying to run the pitch count up and laying off the curveball, which they didn't do in Houston, and I thought he and Zunino made a good adjustment to that. But he has a chance to have a big year, and no doubt. We saw it coming together last year, and he's continuing to ride it, and he actually wants to take it to the next level. How he's preparing, how he's going about his work in between starts, it's outstanding, and he's ready to take that next step.
With him in the seventh there, when he got the first two guys on, does that show your confidence in him that he can find a way out of that? I know you had relievers up.
Yeah, we did. If it got a little deeper down in that pocket around some of their left-handed hitters, may have gone differently, but starting pitching is what, it's huge for us, and getting those guys deep, and especially a guy like Pax, you got to be out there and experience that. When you're getting a close to 100 pitches and there's a couple guys on, how you can get through it, he's done it now. And that certainly will help us here in the long run this year.
Pitch out to Villa made you Correa.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said the pitch out to Villa made you Correa was a pretty big one there.
Very much so. It's a pretty good hitter, and Danny Altavilla has been really, really big for us. Another guy. Young player trying to take the next step, take on a little bit more of a meaningful, higher leverage role in the backside of our bullpen. And, again, awesome pitch. He gave up a couple hits today, but he didn't fold. He kept making pitches and going after him and got out of it.
So there it is. That's the skipper talking about this one. A lot of good, almost all good. The Segura injury, we'll see what that how he's doing tomorrow, see if he's in the lineup. Or if they have to make a move to bring up someone just in case. But, we'll see. We'll know more tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow, Mariners and Astros game two of the series, 7:10 first pitch from Safeco Field. Musgrove against Miranda as they'll go at it in game two of the series as the Mariners look to put together a little winning streak now after winning the home opener. So hopefully you'll see it at Safeco Field tomorrow. Safeco Field yesterday, Aaron Goldsmith, a chance to sit down with Harold Reynolds, Jamie Moyer, and Willie Bloomquist. Here it is.
The most exciting day of the year. It is opening day here at Safeco Field, and we have about as colorful of a panel of guests here for us inside the green room, just beyond the home plate entrance at Safeco Field. We have Harold Reynolds here.
Hello, everybody.
Willie Bloomquist, and Mariners Hall of Famer, Jamie Moyer.
Howdy.
Guys, this is always an exciting day as a player. What's it like for you guys coming back to Safeco Field and being a part of the opening day festivities, Harold?
Tell you what, it's cool. I wasn't anticipating coming back, so when I got the call to come back and be able to come back here to Seattle and watch a game, pretty cool. And then get to throw out the first pitch. Being a Northwest kid, I'm used to watching the Mariners and following them, so it's kind of a nice thing for me to come back to see in person. But you, Willie, you're from the Northwest.
I kind of echo that, yeah. I was flattered, honored that they called me to come and do this. But growing up, being a Mariners fan, and then getting an opportunity to play here for a lot of years and play with Jamie and watch Harold growing up, I mean, it was very cool for me. So to come back and experience opening day here
as a
fan.
And,
it's awesome for me, too, yeah.
I didn't grow up here, but I played here long enough to feel like I grew up here.
Yeah.
But I think opening day is always special, I think, for players. I mean, it's obviously you've been going through your off season, you've gone through spring training. It's obviously the mark of a new season. And I think that's very exciting for players. I think, it's kind of like it's go time and let's go. right now. We really need to go, but you know, it marks a special time in the season, and not only for baseball, but just, you know, spring. I mean, spring's around the corner, and you know, kids are getting out of school and they're coming to games, and it's just a fun time. But I know coming back here, I've had good fortune to pitch a couple of times opening day, and that excitement, you know, with your new teammates, and it's just the excitement of thinking, hey, we can win a lot of games and make it a special year.
You know, we've come so far as an organization. When people ask me opening day, I think about Chuck Armstrong. And, you know, being in the kingdom, if we didn't win the first game with 50,000 there, nobody was coming the next day. And so I remember it's almost as if it happened yesterday. We lost the game. We're in the clubhouse. You know, as a player, you got 161 more games. And Chuck would walk in, and he'd slump against the wall. And he's sliding down. The briefcase would be like, what's wrong, Chuck? And he's like, oh, like the season was over. Because he understood, you know, hey, we didn't perform in front of that big crowd. We may not get them back. These guys helped turn the tide, you know, with Griffey and moving forward. They're going to be back the next day. But when we were playing, man, it was pressure on the day. If we didn't win, we might get 5,000 the next day.
Willie, any specific opening day memories stand out to you more than others?
You know, probably my first one, obviously, was very important. My first one here at Safeco Field was important because Scott Spezio got hurt right before opening day, and they threw me right into the fire and playing third base. And if I remember right, I think you might have been pitching that day. But it was playing against Anaheim, and that was a really special day for me to get an opening day start here at Safeco. 1-for-3 with a double RBI.
Hello.
Just ask.
I got medicine. About the only good game I had that year. But it was a pretty special day for me.
What about you, Jamie?
You know, I don't really have one that stands out. I know for me, I think I've had two opening day opportunities to start the season, and I think to me that's really special. I mean, it's a team game. But when you have that honor, you know, they hand you the ball and say you're the opening day pitcher. I mean, it's a feel-good inside, but it also, I felt like I was kind of the leader. I wasn't the leader of the team, but, you know, I was kind of leading the forces.
The ace gets the ball.
And it's fun. And I think that's what makes it special. And being able to come back here today and, you know, watch this all kind of happen in front of us, I think for all of us in our own special ways, we're going to start reliving times that we had here with the fans, you know, being on the field and playing, and to me, that's the fun of it.
So, in the spirit of the 40th anniversary of the Mariners, we got to talk a little Edgar here, okay? Yep. So, August 12th, there we go, showing off the patch.
That's pretty sweet.
It is.
So, on August 12th this year, Edgar's number is going to be retired, right? So, Junior last year, the first in franchise history, now Edgar. You each had a chance to play with Edgar. Jamie, you actually faced Edgar as well.
I did.
What Edgar memories do you guys have?
Well, being the oldest here, as Willie pointed out, I played with Edgar when he was a third baseman, you know, and grew into being that designated hitter. I think the one thing that's overlooked with his offense being so great was how good a defender he was. He had great range, made great plays, so he was an all-around really solid player. As far as his offense and the number retired and going into the Hall of Fame and all that, he should be going to Cooperstown. You know, the designated hitter's a position. In my mind, Edgar's been one of the best at it. As far as the Mariners retiring his jersey, I was number 63, number 85. You damn it, you were everything. It seems like Edgar was always number 11. And so the only guy I remember wearing 11 was like Bob Kearney, way back before Edgar took over. That's how long he wore that number. So it's fitting that they retire his number.
Yeah, I think just from a guy watching Edgar growing up, and he was Mr. Mariner, you know, when I was coming up in junior high and high school, that he was at the top of his game at that point, hitting 340 every year and just doing the things he did. And for me to get an opportunity to actually be a teammate of his after kind of seeing your idol up there, and then you actually get to wear the same uniform as him, and then have him kind of put his arm around you and say, hey, why don't you try this? And then have it just...
And then it works?
Wow, it works. Where were you last year? When you passed 150 at-bats, why don't you just try this, puppy? And next thing you know, you're like, you're out of your funk. And I'm like, man, he just was a special teammate, special person.
So it sounds like you're not surprised that he's the Mariners hitting coach.
No. I mean, he's... if there's a guy that can break down a swing and understand it, from start to finish on how everything works. He's the guy, so he's a special human. Wow.
So let face it, him, Jamie.
Well, that's Aaron alluded to that, and you know, I hated facing him. And I can say most of my teammates that I was playing with, again, you know, with the Orioles and the Rangers, hated facing him as well. And it got to the point where we would sit in our pregame meetings and say, all right, how are we going to attack Edgar Martinez? You know, the guys would say, well, down and away, up and in, you know. It got to the point he hit everything. So we just would say, you know what, let's throw it down the middle and let him try to decide, because that's the only place he's probably not looking. And we started to have a little more success, but he was a very difficult hitter to face. And then becoming a teammate, you know, you had all the respect in the world from him across the field. Now you're a teammate, and now you really get to see how it works and how he did it. And, you know, the time that he puts in the batting cage is phenomenal. His pregame routine was, you know, his eye routine that he went through was phenomenal.
I never knew he had eye problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
But the cool thing that I really liked about him was his demeanor.
Right.
His demeanor and the way he went about his job was just—it was very consistent. And you see the same thing as a hitting coach too. So I mean, and he gets that respect. That's the other cool thing. He got the respect from the opponent as well as his teammates. So I mean, to me, I think that speaks for itself.
Did any of you guys ever see Edgar weighing his bats?
Yes.
Yeah.
In a bat scale, and he put a little Pepsi cup up there and cut so it wouldn't take a weight, and you put it on there so the Pepsi cup would hold it on its little scale. And if it wasn't 31 ounces right on the dot, sign it and throw it in the giveaway.
BP only, huh?
Very meticulous with his bats. Wow. Obviously it worked.
I'm learning more about him sitting there.
You mentioned the eye thing.
I would have taken those bats.
He would do his eye exercises. Next thing you know, I'm checking out. Maybe I should do the eye exercises. I'd start doing them, maybe trying to get a few extra hits, but it didn't work like it did for him.
So 40 years of Mariners baseball, and they're the icons of the franchise that we talk all the time about. But who is a guy that comes to mind that you think was one of the great Mariners that doesn't get enough play? Who's a guy that we don't talk about enough in franchise history?
There's a lot in my mind, because I came up with a group of guys that really laid the foundation. But Rupert Jones was here today.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the first guy that was drafted in the expansion draft to start the organization. First All-Star. He's got to be in the Hall of Fame. Mark Langston for me. Nasty. Nasty. Way before Randy.
Oh, what a leg kick, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Boyer, yeah. All those guys. You know, those are a couple of guys that just stand out. But we've had some really good players come through this organization.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Mark Langston and Alvin Davis was the other guy that I thought was just, he was the guy that I watched all the time growing up. So
special.
He was awesome.
Gotta love that smile.
Yep.
And that's not all. Best. What do you think, Jamie?
You know, I'm a little biased. I'm going to throw out Danny Wilson. You know, Danny Wilson, I mean, he went through a lot, and it was good stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, playing over in the Kingdom, playing under Lou Piniella, you know, anytime you know, several hits were given up, Danny took the brunt of it. Right? You're putting the wrong fingers down. You know, he's always giving them crap. But I mean, we had years where we struggle as a staff, and he's catching 20, 25 guys. He's catching basically every day. I mean, for me, he's been an unsung hero, and he's done it very quietly. And now, you know, he works in the organization. He does it very quietly. But, I mean, just a guy, and he's just a legit guy. You know, I mean, you could always count on him for conversation. If you need to talk to him or, you know, confide in him, whatever it is, you're struggling in a game, you're struggling with a hitter, you always had something to add to it.
Well, I think the one thing that the Mariner organization has always done is have quality people. You look at all the Roberto Clemente Award winners. You look at the community in itself, the guys that have impacts. And I look at a group of guys that I play with. Mark Langston broadcasts for the Angels. You know, Alvin Davis is in the front office and doing whatever he does here. Dave Valley's still doing TV. Darnell Cole's the hitting coach for Milwaukee. Jim Pressey was the hitting coach in Baltimore. I mean, you go on and on and on. Phil Bradley works for the Players Union. I mean, it's pretty amazing the quality of people. And it continued on all the way up to Jamie Moore.
You're at the MLB Network, so there you go.
And on. But just I think that's been one thing that when you think about overlooking people in the organization, it's the organization itself. The quality of men they've produced has really been a special place, and I don't think you see that in a lot of the other organizations. I don't know. You guys played in enough different ones to know.
Well, I think it was special. Just it was the way that they did. I was so fortunate to come up with a group of veteran guys in this clubhouse that taught me the right way how to do things. And you know, your performance on the field is one thing. Some days it's going to be good. Some days it's going to be bad. But you still handle yourself like a professional. You go about your business every day, regardless. You put your work in, and you act like a professional. And that was the guys before me taught me that, and I hope to pass that on to the guys after me. So it was just the way they did things in this organization.
Guys, this has been awesome. We can talk all day, but we know you guys got to get warmed up, right?
Oh man,
I don't know if that's going
to figure
help.
Out how I'm going to squat to catch it, and then stand back up.
Sure, I'm not bouncing it.
Hey guys, we so appreciate you coming here to Safeco Field, being a part of the festivities today. It's going to be a fun day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Man. Appreciate awesome. It.
Thank you, Aaron.
Calderon doubling in the fifth and scoring, striking out and grounding out. By the way, the next family night is June the 11th when the M's host the White Sox. That's next Monday. Calderon hits one off the right side of the bat, hit it into right field, scooped up by Reynolds, backhand, flipped it first to Alvin Davis. My, oh my, what a play by Harold Reynolds. His only play to backhand flip it, and it just barely got there to beat Yvonne Calderon to end the sixth inning. Tremendous play by Reynolds defensively one more time. He didn't have time to plant and throw.
See you later!